What about now? Can you guys hear me? AKA Malachi 36. I'm good now. Yep, so all of that. So you guys didn't even hear my son just have a whole rant. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. But yeah. Thank you again, chat, for letting me know. It's Nine Balls in the chat. We got episode 33:15 inside the chat. If you guys are not following them, you guys are slacking. All right, I'm telling you right now, you're slacking them. If you're not following either one of them on Twitch, and then I want to give a shout out for Kutya, and I apologize if I butchered your name, but Kutya TM, thank you very much again for the comment inside El Chato. But as I was saying before, abruptly I was found out that I was muted this whole time. Every Saturday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 10:30 p.m. give or take 11 a.m. and p.m. Me and Gravity Mark 2, we talk about all things anime just because we like to talk about all these types of stuff. I asked Gravity Mark what he's been doing lately, and you guys heard his response, but you guys didn't hear the question. That's why I've been asking about what anime he's been watching. I've been watching Kotoko's Basketball myself, as Season 2 is now on Netflix. The few things that we're going to be talking about is My Hero Academia. I found out who won the third match, so we're going to talk about that, and it's very interesting me and Gravity are going to talk about that.
You had your predictions.
Kotoko's Basketball, we're going to talk a little bit about that, not too heavy, because I don't want to give anything away. Plus, on top of that, I'm only on episode 4 of Season 2, so very excited to see how that's going to progress. Jujutsu Kaisen, we're going to talk about the trio and their deeds lately. And then I'm going to touch base a little bit on Seven Deadly Sins because it was already pretty good. It's getting really good. And I feel like this might be the final season, the way everything's shaping up. I think this season that we're watching right now, which you guys can actually watch as well on our YouTube, just go type in ALWT Gaming inside the search bar. If you have a hard time finding our page that way, just type in At Least We Try Gaming, because At Least We Tried. But if you go to our playlist, there's a playlist for all things gaming, for all day anime, and for Seven Deadly Sins season 4/5. I labeled it season 4. It really is season 4, but because of how Netflix did their thing, it's some people consider it season 5, and I get that. So it is what it is.
I mean, like, isn't it like technically like 2 or 3 episodes or something? They're like season 2. Here it is. It was like
episode. Oh, it was like season. Yeah, it was actually, you're right. It was season 2 going into season 3, but it really was season 2 still. And it was Signs of the Holy War. That was what it was called.
Yeah, like, can you just like slap that like on the end of like season 1, or just like slap it at the beginning of season 2?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that like where it technically is? It's supposed to be anyway, because like it. Like, that confuses me so much.
Yeah. And they fixed it. I think they fixed it by now, but it still is, like, one of those, like, that's how they presented it, and some people were still kind of confused by that, of how that goes. Mm-hmm. So, without further ado, the first thing we want to dive into is My Hero Academia. So, I was wrong. I had a feeling that Todoroki... Alright, so the way I looked at it, at least I believe I was wrong. I don't think I made the prediction that a tie would happen. I could be completely wrong about that. I don't think I did that last week. But I think Todoroki, I had a feeling that one of them was going to have to lose. Because you have Todoroki, who's a top character. You have Bakugo, who's a top character. And you have Deku, who is the character. He's like the character. So with that being said... I had a feeling that one of them were going to lose or something. I didn't think that all of them were going to win that easily. Turns out, it was a tie. It was a really awkward tie, but it was a tie. I was kind of hoping I would see more from Tentacle. I was kind of hoping I would see more from him, because I started to see more of the dude with the tail.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
he had that really sick move where like he was trapped in like whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, the mud.
Like, he was trapped in the mud, and like he was able to like break the whole thing. And I was like, oh shoot, look at you!
Yeah,
look at you! Your only quirk is just having this really like thick, awkwardly shaped tail that has like a toupee at the end of it. And look at you. Like, you're able to, like, break the ground by, like, spinning around. Good for you. Like, you're actually, like, able to do something, like, helpful.
And something's telling me that I don't think his ability that he's been working on, I don't think we saw it. I think there's more to it.
The tail guy?
Yeah. Because of how they were kind of... Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, because, like, the tail guy, like, he's just like, look at me. Like, I do martial arts and I have a tail. Like,
yeah,
that's that's pretty... That's, like, the extent of his character.
Right.
And I feel bad because I'm like, I don't... Like, honestly, like, I like that... Like, if anything, like, part of me just is, like wants to see more. But at the same time, I kind of like that they have such a wide variety of different quirks. Like, ranging from Bakugo, who just sweats nitroglycerin and, like, makes explosions, to just a guy with a tail. Like,
yeah.
That's it. Like, it's, like, I love how it's not just straight up, like, everyone has, like, these, like, incredible superpowers, and it's just, like, they're just random mutations. Like, some people get really cool superpowers, and some people just get a tail.
Now, to be fair, like, you know, he's in the same realm as Invisible Girl. Because literally her only perk is to be invisible, and that is it.
But she cannot also, like, manipulate the light around her. She can, like, make, like, she can basically turn herself into, like, a flashbang.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, which, like, I think that's kind of neat.
That is her leveling up. But I'm also, like, and that's why I'm, like, I'm curious to see what happened with the tail guy, because they mentioned it. Like, his peers had mentioned something that he got stronger too. And I was expecting to see that. And the closest thing I saw to that was when they were trapped inside. It was really concrete, but it was Mud Guy's effect. And he did the little tail spin and broke out of it. And I also have to give it props to the Horn Girl. Because she was very clever with that horn ability. Being able to stick it inside his body and just bring him straight on over to jail.
What I, you know, and that was also another character that after reading the manga, I was really interested in seeing this character come into the anime, just because, like, when you're reading it, you're like, oh shoot, like, she's American, she speaks English, so, like, they have that moment where, like, she starts to speak English, and they're like, oh, look what you done, you made her upset, now she's speaking English, and then the Mud Guy is, like, starts speaking English too. And, like, if you're not paying attention, like, you, like, it's almost like the accent is so thick that you can't really tell right away. But, like, when you listen to it, you're like, oh, yeah, they are speaking English. It's just, you know, like, kind of rough English. But, like, it's kind of funny because they put the subtitles, like, over, like, the subtitles that they put in Japanese because they were speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the Japanese audience, they're like, yeah, this is what they're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, they're like, here's subtitles for you. So I'm just like, oh, cool, we're getting subtitles over subtitles.
Gotta give a shout-out for a legendary anime, JP Fan 2. I'm back. Good to have you inside the chat on YouTube. Appreciate you. Right now, y'all, we're just talking about My Hero Academia. As you're probably already aware of, especially by your name, legendary anime, JP Fan 2. So we're just talking about the latest episode
that dropped
today. Yep. All day. I was extremely busy playing Neon Genesis Evangelion for PlayStation 2.
Oh!
Yeah, no complaints here.
Oh,
no complaints here.
Man.
Real quick fan gaming update. Went ahead and picked up the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. So I have all three Mass Effects. I've never played them before, ever. So with me being able to create my character and... I went ahead and created my character, gave him a clean cut, already had my first dialogue as far as how I wanted my guy to kind of be, and I'm about to go see the commander. I turned it off there just because I want to get prepped for today, and also with our 9-to-5 segment, and me having a soccer game, and taking care of Kai for a little bit there. Like, it was a lot.
Busy man. busy man.
So I had to go ahead and put that down, but I'm very excited to kind of get to that and see that, and it looks gorgeous. It does not feel like a 8-year game. Doesn't feel like a game that's been out for 8 years ago. Nine Ball Inside the Chat says, a fellow Eva fan. So there you go.
Dude, you know what? It has been so long since I've seen Evangelion. It's been so long. Like, I've seen some of the movies. I've seen, like, the series, like, all the way through. I know that in Japan they recently like came out with one of the newer movies, but like if I'm not mistaken, like there's like the continuity is like a little like it's not like a solid continuity if I'm not mistaken. So like it's just one of those things where I gotta sit down and just be like, okay, what all do I need to watch? What order do I need to watch it in? Like let me just like take 2 days off and just like get through this. Mm-hmm. Because it's a lot. Like it's a lot, but like it's so good. It's such a good series, and I really want to like do that series justice.
Definitely. Looks like Legendary also says inside the chat, I'm getting the new upcoming Japanese import game called Tsukihime remake for PlayStation 4, which I have to wait since 2003. And then Nineball also says the new movies are awesome. They're absolutely fantastic, which is fantastic to hear you guys are enjoying that. Yeah, but real fast, going back on over to My Hero.
My Hero?
Yeah, so I want to ask you, what were your thoughts when you first saw this fight scene and the outcome? Because we haven't talked about Lita yet. We haven't talked about Todoroki. Right now we're just talking about the tail guy. I wanted to see more tentacle. Talked about the girl with the horns. Talked a very, very little bit about Mud Guy. But I want to hear your thoughts as far as the outcome when you first saw this or read this.
So going back to... I'll actually tell like both. Because I read this part in the manga like probably like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like it's been a while since I've actually read this part, and if I'm not mistaken, like last week when you were making your predictions for these next couple rounds, I was like one of them I definitely know the results of, one of them I can't remember the results of, and it was actually this fight that I couldn't remember, because I was like, I think they might have tied, but I feel like they might have also lost, because there's something else at the end, and it's just it, anyway. Like when I first read this, I was kind of caught off guard. I was like, oh shoot, like you could tie? That was a possibility? Mm-hmm. Like, because like at the very least, like with anime, like battle royale kind of, or this isn't really a battle royale, but like at least like with battle arcs, like sometimes like there's it's not sometimes like you do win and sometimes you lose, but like on rare occasions they'll be like, oh, it's a tie, and it's but like sometimes like with certain like battle series or like they're like, oh, like you can't tie, like one person has to win, or like some person like wins on a technicality, and I was like, oh well, like since it's like, you know, A versus B, like one has to win and one has to lose, and so when they tied I was like, oh, I didn't know that was a possibility. Mm-hmm. Like what does this do for the rest of the, you know, the battles moving forward? And when I came back and I actually watched the fight in the anime, I thought the anime did a great job actually like adapting the fight scene.
Yeah,
did. I thought, yeah, like I, and then like when I actually like remember, it's like, oh, it was a tie. Okay, see, I thought it was a tie. Yeah. There we go. So it's crazy. Like when you're trying to remember something you haven't read in 2 years, you're just like, oh, like what was this again? But at the same time, like I kind of like that, because like it. Because I was just like, oh, like, I completely kind of forgot, like, what happened. So I was kind of, like, experiencing it all over again. And especially like, some of the themes that these battles are kind of pulling up. Like, especially with Tokoyami talking to Shoto, like, right before they have their fight. Mm-hmm. Where he's like, hey, like, make sure, like, you win this. Because, like... I'm representing Hawk and you're kind of like representing Endeavor. Like yeah. We're representing like the top two heroes out there.
Yeah.
And it really, at the very least, like from what I'm kind of like remembering with this arc, it touches a lot on succession. Like it touches so much on succession, like what that means as the successor, what that means as like when you're kind of like passing the baton on to people. And so it's not just All Might and Midoriya, it's, you know, Endeavor and Shoto, it's Hawks and Tokoyami, and it's Ida's older brother and Ingenium. Like when you get to see like it, which I love Ida. I will say, like, I'm kind of upset that they don't show Ida more. Because like they were kind of like showing like Ida as like kind of like one of like the main three people like with Midoriya first.
Yeah.
Like because like it kind of seemed like it was gonna be like Midoriya, Uraraka, and Ida. kind of like being like the top, like kind of like the three buddies going through everything.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the Naruto, Sasuke, and the Sakura kind of thing. Like, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, that's kind of like what we're going to see. Not really so, especially like later in the series, but I love Ida. I love Ida so much. I love it when he's just doing this all the time. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I've never seen anyone just trying to make a point like this and just like having like the karate chop action like this. And I'm like, I love it. I love how obnoxious it is, but like I love the way that he was actually able to like improve his quirk. Mm. Where they're just like, oh yeah, like to improve your quirk, like you just have to like rip out the mufflers from your calves. You have to rip out your calf mufflers.
I was about to say it was so, that was such a disturbing scene because I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't expecting that
at all.
I was gonna say, like, when I was watching that, I was like, you know, if I was Ida, I'd look at my brother and just be like, are you sure these are gonna grow back? It's like, yeah, no, totally, they'll grow back. It's like, yeah, but I'm like, I'm ripping them out. Like, are you sure they're gonna grow back? Because, like, I don't think I can put that back in. Like, right. like, what if they don't grow back? It's just like, no, they'll totally grow back.
I wonder how long it took them for the grow back. Did it say inside the anime? Or because like, I don't think they mentioned that.
Feel like they might have, like, but I feel like they might have subtly mentioned it, but like I don't remember. But it was interesting because like you see all of these people who are kind of training, and even Ida was training as well, kind of behind the scenes, but like Ida's way of progressing like wasn't exactly like everyone else's. He was, you know, like he actually had kind of like a little shortcut just to be like, yeah, cool, just like pull out your little calf mufflers and then you'll grow like even like cooler mufflers. Then I was like, dude, those are some sick calf mufflers. I bet buying pants is a pain for you.
Yeah, definitely. Or you could just buy them and then cut holes in them, possibly.
Yeah, well, that was something that I don't think the anime actually fully talked about. Because I think there was actually a little snippet like at the end of one of the chapters in the manga. It actually talked about a law that had to be passed that would like give like equal rights to people like who had mutations in regarding to clothing. Mm-hmm. And so they were like they passed certain laws to be like, hey, if you're gonna make clothing, you have to be able to accommodate people who have like these like quirk mutations. And if anything, like I love those little snippets. Like I know that's like a lot of shonen's like stuff from Shonen Jump, they'll have like you'll read the entire chapter and then there'll be like a little bit like a little like excerpt from like the author that's like, oh hey, here's a random fun fact about the world. Like I know My Hero did that for a while. I know Demon Slayer does it. Mm. So it's kind of like just one of those like, oh yeah, by the way, here's a fun fact. So I'm just like, oh cool, so like he's gonna get pants. But just picture like just any like I don't know like I mean like just try picturing like putting on like pants with like cleats on. It's a pain. I mean that already is a pain. So like picture just trying to put pants. I'm spending way too much time talking about Ida putting on pants, but it was good, and I loved that. I loved that we got to see Shoto like actually like kind of like letting loose again.
Mm-hmm.
Like where, like, because like we haven't really seen him like cut loose like that since the
tournament when he was against Midoriya,
since the tournament,
yeah.
And so like, and that he was actually like about to use kind of like the prominence burn, but like he had it like in his like in a fist,
yeah.
Mudman was like, yeah, the Mudman like saved Tetsu Tetsu and was like, hey, like you were gonna melt, like if that would have hit you, you would have melted.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh dude, like it I love it when they give you like a sneak peek at a character's potential and then they're just and then they just kind of screw it over and then they're just like, yeah, no, like we're not gonna let you get this off just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're gonna like hint that you have that potential, but we're not gonna show this yet, like we're gonna wait first.
Let me ask you something real fast because I'm actually very curious about this. We know about the League of Villains, we know about All for One. We've seen what the heroes can do. Everyone knows All Might's secret now. We know that Endeavor's the new number one. We know Hawk is the new number two. Are we going to see Stain return?
Yes, in some capacity. At the very least, in one of the more recent chapters, within the past month or so, they showed a hint of Stain. But, you know, at the same, like, but, like, it wasn't really, like, it was just kind of, like, showing, like, hey, he's back. Mm-hmm. So, there's been a lot, especially, like, lately in the manga, there is, I'm kind of speechless because I'm just, like, I want to be able to talk about everything that's going on in the manga right now because it is absolutely freaking nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, think of the craziest thing that you can think of right now. It's crazier than that. It's nuts. It's going down. It's nuts. So, yeah, like, will we see Stain? I would say yes, because, like, we do get to see a hint of him. But I would say that even with where I'm at in the manga, there's still, like I still think that we're going to see more of him. I really hope that we do.
Yeah, because the way
I'm really curious to see what they do with them.
Yeah, the way they designed this character, he definitely was, like, the first villain that you see inside My Hero Academia. And if you guys don't remember, he was the one that had the red bandana over his eyes. He had a knife. And it seemed like anybody that had a projectile ability would be able to take him on pretty easily. No, he made them look like chumps. And what he, like, his quirk was that he was able to, if he had blood that was on, like, the end of his stick, his knife or whatever, if he licked it, it would stun them. And if it's a certain type, it would stun them for X amount of time. If it was another type, it would stun them for maybe a lesser amount of time. And if they're another type, I don't think it stunned them at all. So it was just, like, it was just kind of very unique.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was just a very unique ability. But he was, like, the first real villain that you came across that was just, like, dang, if this villain's more like this guy, this is, like, some Itachi-level crap. You know what I mean? And even for, like, Endeavor at that time was the number two. And he was a strong number two. And even for Gran Torino, like, they were in the presence of him. And Gran Torino was a seasoned hero. And they're in the presence of him, and he does a shout that stuns everybody. Literally just stunned everybody. And it was just like, the only one that probably would have withstood that would have been All Might. And it's just like, man. So if this hero's like this, and this is not the best villain out there, I'm very curious to see what the rest of the villains are going to look like.
No, but I will say, like, the villains are coming up. Villains are coming up. So we are going to be seeing more of the villains coming up.
Okay.
Like, kind of, like, after this battle arc. And like, one thing that the end of Season 4 kind of hinted at was the, what were they called? The Metahuman Liberation Front or something?
Mm.
They're called something like that. But, like, we're gonna be seeing, like, kind of, like, another group coming in soon. It's getting really interesting. Like, we're gonna be seeing more of Shigaraki. We're gonna be eventually, like, we're gonna be seeing, I would imagine it would be this season, and this is actually something I've been really excited for, is seeing the anime version of Shigaraki's backstory.
Because
like, they do talk about Shigaraki's backstory, it's, again, I don't want to spoil too much, but it's like, it just like little nuggets for you guys to look forward to. But yeah, so we just saw Shoto's group tie with Tetsu's group.
Yeah.
And now next up is Bakugo's group.
Yes.
I'm curious. I wanna rack your brain around this. After seeing this battle, what are your thoughts on this next battle? What do you think is gonna happen with Bakugo?
So team A won the first one. Team B mm-hmm. won the second one. Team A and B tied the third one. I think that Team Bakugo is going to lose. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think that they're going to lose. I wonder if there's something that new that Bakugo is going to learn. For real fast, I have to stop my. I had to completely come to a halt on this. S-Killed, hello there.
S-Killed,
good to see you inside the chat. And I have, the reason why I had to come to a stop to mention this is because it is 4 a.m. in Denmark, and he has the audacity to support us on our stream.
4 a.m.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for showing up. we love having you on. Like, seriously, thanks for spending some time with us. We really do appreciate it. Like, dude, it's 4 a.m. Yeah. What is going on?
4 a.m. Yeah, we are really, really grateful for this, and we definitely appreciate you tuning in. I understand if you got to pass out and go to sleep. I get it. But I just want to throw that out there, because that's dedication. That's appreciation to its finest. So we appreciate you for sure, Eskild. Thanks again, all the way from United States to Denmark. I can't sleep. Hey, you can sleep to us. We're just talking. We're just talking, having a good time.
We're just talking.
Yeah, right. And if we're just talking about some My Hero Academia, if you haven't started that yet. So if you guys are in the chat, show some love to Eskild. Definitely appreciate that. But as far as my prediction goes, I think that Bakugo, I think him and his group are going to lose. I think that I think it's all going to ride down to Deku winning. And I say that because Deku had already lost to Todoroki inside the tournament. So I don't think the writers, as far as a strategic move, I don't think the writers are going to have Deku lose. And he also, on top of that, he also lost to Bakugo earlier when the one-on-one fight, when Bakugo found out about All for One and stuff like that with him. Mm-hmm. So something's telling me that Deku is not going to be, Deku's not going to lose this one. So it's either A, like if there's that possibility that both Bakugo and Deku's group wins, but I'm leaning more towards Bakugo's group losing and then Deku's group winning, so that way the whole thing ends off as a tie to see how much further Class B has come along. And now Class A is not, like, the dominant class by all means necessary.
Yeah, and that's something that I do really appreciate about this arc, is that while, quite frankly, Class B is, like, I don't really care about Class B, there's maybe, like, 5 people in total in Class B that I actually care about. Like, everyone else, I'm just like, okay, cool. Thanks for showing up. But, Class B, it's definitely interesting, and it's nice to actually, again, like, see, like, more variety of different quirks. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying about how it's nice that, like, not everyone is just, like, this, like, haha, like, I have superpowers. I can have all of these, like, stereotypical, like, DC and Marvel abilities. It's, like, they're just random mutations that, like, just do really weird stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're able to, like, take those weird mutations and they're able to, like, maximize the most out of it. Like, the one dude who can, like his quirk is, like, gyrate or something. Like, his limbs, like just spin fast. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I just punch and kick people, like, with my arms move, like, just spinning around in a circle. Like, yeah. It's, I'm like, dude, you got in, to UA, like, where you're, like, that's, is this? Like, that? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? That's pretty cool. Like, that is neat. But the one thing that we gotta remember, and this episode did kind of remind the audience of this, speaking of reminding, I can't remember the guy's name. It's the guy with the voice ability.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, he's still here.
Yeah.
This whole mock battle is actually a test for him to see if they're going to allow him into the hero the hero course.
Well, I was about to say, that's another reason why I think that he's going to lose. Because I think Bakugo's going to lose, I think, the voice, because now the voice guy is against Deku. He's not with Deku. So I think the guy with the voice is going to be so impressive that it's pretty much undeniable to let him inside the Hero Academy. But I think he's still going to come up short because Deku's going to come out with something crazy and new and strategic. So that's my prediction. I could be completely off, but that is my prediction on that.
So I wanted to throw one more thing at you because this season has been hinting at something.
Okay.
And they actually hinted about this all the way back in season, I believe, 1, like during the sports festival when Deku actually went up against the voice guy for the first time. When Deku was able to see the previous users of One for All. And so vestiges that they're calling them, like the previous users of One for All, they're kind of coming back in this season. Where at the very beginning of the season, we actually got to see we actually got to see, like, Deku, like, while he was sleeping, he had a dream.
Yeah.
And actually, like, saw some of the memories of the first user of One for All. And he actually, like, accidentally, like, used his, activated his quirk while he was asleep.
Yeah.
And that's something that All Might is like, I saw him, like, once. Like, my quirk never, like, accidentally just went off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never actually, like, saw people's memories. I didn't have conversations with them. He's like, so this is new for All Might, too. And so he's kind of like, oh, shoot, like, I gave him my quirk, and now some really weird stuff is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this most recent episode, he told Deku, like, hey, like, be careful. Like, be careful when you go up against him. Because he kind of triggered the vestiges to appear to you the first time.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen the second time. Do you have any theories about that? Do you have any theories about what's going to happen, like, if the voice guy actually does use his ability on Deku?
I don't, except for the fact that I think we're going to see... Kai! I don't... Sorry. I don't, except for the fact that I think he's going to see who the first two were. That's what I think. Mm. I think we're going to actually see the faces of the first two, and I think it's going to be... I don't think it's going to be anything surprising. I don't think it's going to be anyone that we've seen before, but I do think it is going to be, like, actually seeing them in character. We're able now to put a face to the face with the name and with the legends, because we never heard their voices. We just saw their outlines, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think the extent of this will be relating to All for One.
All right, all right. Yeah, it's... I say this every time we talk about My Hero, it's gonna get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna get nuts. It's gonna be super fun.
2022 gonna be lit.
2022 is gonna be lit. 2023 is gonna be lit. It's this show. I will say, this show is not going to disappoint. This show has, like, so far, this story has not disappointed me at all. Like, every single time a new chapter comes out, like Abs, like, gets annoyed so much with it, because I'm just like, Abs, like, come on, like there's, like, a new chapter just happened, and she's like, all right, well, don't tell me what it is. But I'm like, oh, but, like, something really cool just happened. I gotta, like, tell someone. And she's like, don't tell me, don't spoil it. She's like, I'm only watching the anime, like, don't spoil this. I'm like, fine. it's gonna be great.
I am very curious to see what's going to happen for the series. The only downside that I have, and I know we said this before on podcasts and everything, but the only downside I have with My Hero... Kai.
Sorry. He's not...
Yeah, he's still... Can you put him in that, please? The only thing that I have with it is that it slows down drastically going into a new season. That's my only thing. Like, I don't want to keep on... Like, I do like My Hero a lot, but it's still, like... I even get annoyed with that on Sword Art, to where it has this huge... Like, it starts this building moment, and a new season happens, and it just drops. Because it's reintroducing new characters, new plots, and stuff like that. And then it does it again and again. And that's the part that I'm not really too thrilled about when it comes to My Hero. Especially since, majority of the time, it's not new characters anyway. So it's just like, how come it's always a training grounds that they have to go back to or something like that? How come you have to reintroduce all these characters? Like, that's the part that I'm not really too thrilled about. And it's getting to a point to where now it's getting a little interesting and exciting now. But it still is like mock battles. So at the end of the day, it's just like, all right, it'll be cool to see who won. But I'm not really fiending to watch it as of right now. Like I was in the middle endish of... we're in season 5, right?
Yep, season 5.
Yeah, so in season 4, like how that was starting to pick up towards the end, and then the way that ended was bonkers. It was awesome. But now it starts back up, and it's just like, we're like, what, 5 episodes in? And I'm like, okay. So.
Yeah, I feel like My Hero, like, has a habit of just, like, every time, like, a new season comes out, it's just like, slow build. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it will start off slow, and then it'll just kind of, like, get, like, better and better and better and better, and by the end of, like, the next season, like, it's, like, up here, and then, like, your hype level for the series is just up there.
Yeah.
Then they kind of, like, take it, they take some time to, like, you know, come around with the new season, and by the time a new season comes out, you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, like, let's do this, because, like, you're still, like, raring to go from the end of the last season. And then they're like, cool, Deku, he has all for one. Yeah, this is exactly how we got it. And like, oh, okay. Exactly. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, you know, oh my gosh, I wonder how many times they've actually done that. Like, and also, like, the
well, they did of, it like, every season. Cards. Every season transition, they've done it. So they've done it at least four times.
Oh, come on. Like we don't need it anymore. Like, because, like, honestly, I feel like at this point, like, it's just kind of, like, padding for the animation studio to kind of, like, just throw that in there.
Mm.
Just to be like, oh, hey, like, we need to, like, we need to pad for some time so that way we can, like, kind of, like, you know, stretch out the content as much as possible. And to an extent, I'm like, I don't necessarily mind all the time, but, like, the constant reminders of people's quirks is something I'm like, I don't need that. Like, I really don't need it. And at the very least, like, it seems like, at least with this most recent season, or this most recent episode, rather, we didn't really see any of that. Like, it wasn't like, Todoroki! Half hot, half cold!
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they didn't stop it. They didn't necessarily stop and be like, do that, but they still did the little, mm-hmm. like, his name, and then his quirk, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they still had that little subtitle, if you will, of what they do. Which, I mean, again, is fine, I guess, but at this point, at least for the main people, you should, if you're five seasons in, you should already know what they do.
Yeah, especially Shoto, like, I mean, like, he's part of the big three that, like, they're gonna be having in this next movie.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting his own hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I want that hoodie.
Yeah.
Like, it looks dope.
Wait,
have you seen the character designs for this new movie yet?
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, what do you think about
him? Dude, it just gets me that much more stoked. It just gets me that much more stoked. I can't wait to see what this movie is going to be about entirely.
And so, and I know that I told this to you like a few weeks ago, but what I've been reading in the manga, I've noticed that what they're doing is they're making more connections to the movies than most series do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm so used to. And I, honestly, like, I'm really excited about it because, like, I'm so used to kind of, like, the Dragon Ball movie kind of deal where, like, they're just random side stories that don't have any sort of connection to the main storyline. They're just random side stories. Because the other thing is that, like, they never mention anything about the movies in the series at all. They never mention the movies. They never mention anything. Like especially, like, with the events of the second movie, you would think that, like, that would be big enough that they'd be like, hey, remember that time we did this? Mm. That was nuts. They don't mention it at all. But especially more recently in the manga, they've been dropping things that I'm just like, huh, they're making connections to the movies. They're bringing in like certain characters that were exclusive to the movie and putting them in the manga. They're taking things that were exclusive, like items and stuff that were exclusive to the movies and putting them in the manga as just kind of like, which I don't know if they're just kind of like nods to the movies or if they're actually trying to make connections to them, but my brain is going full theorist mode with seeing some of the stuff that I've seen more recently. So pay attention to this most recent movie.
Mm.
Pay attention to it. Watch it, because in some way or another, it's going to tie back into the series.
And I'm wondering, I'm also kind of curious about that as well. Like, and the reason why I say that, I wonder if it's a cultural thing on a generational thing. And I say that because Dragon Ball Z, as you mentioned before, used to have the Tree of Might that had no relevance to, the closest thing at that during that time period of the Z era that they had relevance to the series was Dead Zone. That was the only time they really referenced it, and even then it was filler. Like, they referenced it during a filler time period. But now, if you fast forward to today, all of Dragon Ball Super movies have been either directly inserted inside Super series or referenced to. So that's mm-hmm. something that I'm very curious about to see how that's going to be. Because, again, Naruto, during that time period, had movies that had no relevance to its series too as well. So I'm wondering if that's like a cultural, generational thing to where now we're going to start seeing more movies that's going to tie into the actual series. Demon Slayer?
Okay, hold on.
Go ahead.
I was going to say... So that was 2014. So I was gonna say, so that came out. So because that is really an interesting point that you brought up, because I started, because like we start to like kind of notice this shift around when Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods came out.
Mm.
Or at the very least, that's kind of when I noticed it.
Yeah.
Because now, all of a sudden, it's not just a random side story. Like, it's actually canon. Like, this is an actual event that actually takes place in the main storyline. And one of the other examples, because Naruto is a really great example, because we had like all of these Naruto movies that had zero connection to the main storyline whatsoever, and I was never interested in any of those movies at all. I never was. I've seen all of Naruto. I've seen all of Shippuden. I haven't seen Boruto yet. I've seen like little clips of it here and there, but it's just like I never was interested in the movies. But a movie I did see was Naruto The Last, because it was canon to the actual series. But I was actually trying to see like when that movie came out, and that movie actually came out in 2014,
To your point, take one even a little further. I've noticed it during that time period too as well, but it didn't start hitting me until Ordinal Scale, Sword Art Online. That came out February 18th, 2017. And that is literally a bridge between the second season, technically, into season 3. And they even make references like that Jedi down the road inside the War of the Underworld. Before that, I was like, oh, you even have to watch the movie. It kind of references a little bit, like it's a nice bridge gap between that. But it wasn't until towards the end of War of the Underworld is when I was just like, oh, snap. Yeah, you want to go watch the movie first before you start season 3. And yeah, it gets very intriguing and very interesting there. And then even for just recently, like we just saw a couple weeks ago, Demon Slayer, which is a direct sequel to the first season, and now it looks like it's bridging the gap into season 2, because it's crazy what stuff that has happened, that there's no way that this is not going to connect to the season 2. Absolutely no way.
And I personally want to ask you, like, how do you feel about that?
I love
it. How do you feel about I do like that too. Like, I'm liking that, like, movies actually have relevance now, because now I'm sorry, like, again, like with all like the random side stories, like, because like a lot of like the movies, and especially like anime sales in general in Japan, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of them are kind of like the revenue is generated around the Blu-ray sales, like the DVD sales, and so like that's kind of like where they make a lot of their money, if I'm not mistaken. But so like for me, like, and again, like if there's a movie, you would think a lot of the revenue that they would have like would either be from the theaters or from the Blu-ray sales. And so I'm just like, if this story has no relevance, I'm sorry, like, why would I want to drop my money on a store on a DVD of a movie that like has no relevance whatsoever to the overall plot that I'm actually interested in?
Yeah.
But like if the movie actually makes sense and is actually like part of the actual series, I'll spend money on it. Like, cause like Demon Slayer, like, yeah, I would love to have that. Like, if I had like a Blu-ray set of just each season, and then you get to put like the movies in between those to be like, yeah, this is the order you need to watch them in. Like, I feel like it just adds to the collection, especially like for those hardcore collectors who really want to like collect all that stuff. And, but yeah, like I personally like it, but I wanted to like, yeah, I did want to ask you like how you felt about it.
Yeah, and that's another thing. You hit the nail right on the head, and I kind of want to even take one a little further. So me and Nineball were actually talking about this earlier. Anime in general has evolved tremendously since we were kids. You know what I mean? So like back then, it probably made sense to just have a Broly movie and Broly have nothing to do with the series, but it doesn't necessarily make as much sense now. Like, we're in a day and age to where voice actors have grown in variety, and they're good voice actors, at least American voice actors, I should say. I feel like Japanese always nailed it, but American voice actors, for the most part, were just not up to par. You had your good ones, as Nineball had mentioned before, inside of our 9 to 5 segment. You have Cowboy Bebop, even Eva, they were just talking about it today. They had some pretty good voice acting. And I mentioned Dragon Ball Z, but honestly, when I really think about it, even Dragon Ball Z's voice acting really wasn't the absolute greatest. You had a few people that were good, like Goku matched his character, as cheesy as he was. Yeah, Vegeta, he matched perfectly. Piccolo matched perfectly. Frieza, annoying as all heck, but matched perfectly. You know what I mean? You still had those people that did match really, really well, but ultimately, like, their voice acting during that time period would be subpar at best, I could say. We're just kind of used to it. So I think that's the reason why that era was, like, kind of lacking. Like, variety just wasn't as good. Now, you have people that I even know some right off the top of the head, like Bryce Papenbrook, who plays Meliodas and Kirito and Eren from Attack on Titan. And, like, he does all sorts of stuff. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, there's just all different sorts of voice actors that we have now. But that also kind of helped evolve anime, I would say. That we also have more anime video games that some of them are actually starting to hit pretty good now. We even have the little spin-offs, like I said, Integral Factor, which I'm obsessed with. And I'm usually not a mobile gamer at all. We also have merchandise that's coming out too as well. So I think with that being said, the formula of their movies are going to shift. And I think that's why we're seeing more anime movies come out that have a direct integration to the anime series as far as it goes to seasons and stuff. So I'm very excited for all this.
Yeah, because it's definitely something that, like, I've never wanted to go to, like, a theater to, like, actually see an anime movie. Ever since Battle of Gods, I've seen so many more anime movies in theaters now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's an event. Especially because, like, the theaters only have, like, a short window of time that, like, they have it out there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to go see this movie now or you are never going to see it in a theater. Like, ever.
Right.
Unless it's, like, a smaller, like, neighborhood theater that might just be, like, having some sort of, like, random event.
Shout out to Game Night.
But even then, like, that's... yeah, like it's still like it's such a rare occurrence. It's such a rare thing, especially like at least here in the States. So it's just one of those things where it's like if you want to be a part of that, you have to go see it. And I'm so freaking glad that we got the chance to go see Mugen Train. It was such a good movie. It's such a good movie. It was such a good segue into the next season. And especially like now that I've actually like read that part in the manga, it just makes me appreciate it even more.
Mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly.
The movie did such a good.
They
job.
Did fantastic. They did absolutely fantastic. I appreciate everything that they did in that movie. Like it was really good. There's a few things that again we which you guys can always go back to our YouTube. I think it's off of Twitch by now, but you guys can actually go back to our YouTube and look at mine and Gravity Mark's critique about that. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that movie for sure, and I know that David had enjoyed it with me too as well. I do want to bring up Kuroko's Basketball.
Yes,
and I say that because again, I really wasn't the type of person to get inside of sports animes. Even before that, but I used to be a type of person that only watched primarily like action. Yeah, I mean, I have some adventure like that's up Shonen. There. Yeah, that's typically why I was more the type of person I was more the action stuff, Dragon Ball Z stuff, Bleach, it's more of like that. It wasn't until Your Lie in April, like I gave that a shot, and I think I gave this little testimony before on an earlier all day anime, but I gave Your Lie in April a shot thinking it was an entirely different anime, and I was waiting for the action to come in, and it never came in, and when I realized it was the wrong anime, it already got me. I was like, okay, I know this is obviously not the same anime that I was thinking it was, but this is really interesting. And I finished that thing all the way through. It's one season. It is a good, 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 good anime. It was my first slice of life that actually I dove into. And that opened up the possibility for other animes, such as Haikyuu, which was my first sports anime I got into. It's the volleyball one, and it's really good. I'm actually rewatching it right now as we speak, just anticipating for when that comes back again this year, because I think it's season 5 that'll be dropping.
See, that's another one I gotta catch up on.
Yeah, it's like, it's really good.
Yeah.
And then Ohio, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just gonna just echo what you were saying about, like, just, like, there's just such a variety of anime now.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the very least, like back in the 90s or like even like the 80s, like when you looked at a lot of stuff like Well, like, okay, was Speed Racer 70s or 80s?
Oh, that was... I'm just going to look it up, man, because I remember that on Cartoon Network.
I was going to say, because, like, there was stuff like you had, like Speed Racer, and then you had, like, the really cheesy stuff, but, like, you had, like, Speed Racer, and you had Voltron. Like, and those were some, like, more cheesier shows. But, like, they're still really fun. They were still really good. And then you start to see, like around the 90s, like, you start to see, like, all, like, the battle shonen that you get in the Toonami block.
That...
And if anything, like...
It came out September 23rd, 1967.
Jeez, okay.
So 1970, so you're right around that time period. Yeah, 1970.
Yeah, like, because there are so many, like, old school, like, classic anime that I just never got a chance to see. Like Speed Racer, like, I saw a couple episodes when I was younger. Voltron, kind of same thing. The OG Mobile Suit Gundam, the one from 1979, I actually sat down and I watched the whole thing. It's very much so like a villain, like, you know, like a villain of the day kind of story, but it does have like an overarching storyline that is very beautifully written. And they kind of like do a really good job retelling that in some of the more modern updates. But to your point, kind of like getting back to your point, like during the 90s, we started as like, we saw like this big boom of just shonen battle series. And that was kind of like all people thought anime was. It was just like, oh, cool. Like, it's just like, shonen battle series. It's just like guys just going, ah! And that's it. But then we start to see like more stuff. Like, we start to see like more sports shows. Like you have the Prince of Tennis. You have like Ice Shield 21. Like, you have like all these other different types of anime, and it starts to show you like, hey, like, anime isn't just this one thing. It's a medium that can tell all sorts of different types of stories. And I'll say this, like, me myself, like, I'm not a big sports guy, if you can't tell. Like, I'm not a big sports guy. Like, I can watch any sort of sports game and kind of like follow along what's going on, but like, I don't go out of my way to watch sports. It just doesn't hit that button for me. But sports anime, that stuff's really hype.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's really fun. Like, Haikyuu is so good. I avoided sports anime like the longest time because I was like, oh, I don't think I'm gonna like this. Mm-hmm. Same with like romance series, and same with Slice of Life. I'm like, a Slice of Life, like, so just like a normal day, mm-hmm. just a regular freaking day. Like, I have regular freaking days. Like am I just gonna like just draw like what I did today, mm-hmm. which was nothing. Like what am I gonna do? That's so boring. But like, it's so good. It's so much fun. Your Lie in April, again, another series I need to check out. Like, they're so good. But I want you to tell me more about Kuroko's Basketball, because this is a show that I have heard nothing but good things about. And I actually want to know a little bit more about it. So like, could you tell me like a little bit more about like what Kuroko's Basketball is about?
So,
because it sounds like it's Kuroko and he has a basketball.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. But let me go ahead and so there's two main characters in this one. You have Kuroko and you have a Taiga. All right, Kuroko is this. He used to be on a team that was full of elite dancers, full of elite players. And they were known as the Generation of Miracles. That's what they were known as. Every single one of them has like a particular ability that they absolutely excel in. Like, one is able to take 3-point shots from anywhere on the court. Another one is just really good, really, 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 really good at trick shots and dribbling and stuff like that, and so on and so forth. Kuroko, his biggest ability was his conspicuousness. No one could see him on the court, period. He wasn't extremely fast. He just has such a presence of invisibility. So unless like he lets you know he was there, you wouldn't know he was there. And the reason why that was really powerful for him, and why he was on the, in fact, he was so invisible that there's people that didn't, like, they knew about the Generation of Miracles, but they never knew that he was on the team. That's how much and he was a regular player. And he was a regular player too as well. So with that being said, his ability, like I said, is that he'll get the ball, he'll get it passed to him, but to remain inconspicuous, he would immediately pass it. Like, his passes were absolutely sharp to where it literally looks like the ball's coming this way and then just randomly ricochets another way.
Ooh.
That's how it looked to the human eye. And he joined a school, I think a Cincinnati, something like that. But he joins a high school that I think at one point was like kind of a powerhouse, and then they fell. Very similar to Haikyuu, to where they were used to be a powerhouse and they fell. Now they're getting back on their feet again. So he joined that school, and he's joining their high school and joined their basketball team. But then on the opposite side of the spectrum, there's a guy named Taiga who is he's huge, he's built, he's fit, he can jump really high, he's very strong, he's great at basketball. He learned basketball in America, and they mentioned that. And then he comes back to Japan, and that's when he like brought the skills that he had learned from there on over, and he was just a dominant. But the thing, though, is that he joins this school, and they're very, like, subpar, and they start trying to get better inside their games, and, of course, they're going to run to the people that are part of the Generation of Miracles, because that Generation of Miracles in middle school, they all split off and went to different high schools, but every single one of their high schools are stronger because they have them on the team. So, and Kuroko, though, he is the only one that was like out of the group that kind of has sense, and everyone has their own reasons for playing. His was just like he wanted everyone to have fun and get along and really appreciate basketball and everything like that, because everybody, their passion for basketball has pretty much left them. Like, some of them are just so good that it's just boring to them now. So it's just like, do they even like basketball? So he just kind of wants to reignite that spark, but he wants to have peace for everybody and everything like that. And his reason for doing that is by beating them and with Taiga's help. And it's a really good anime.
Okay.
It really is, yeah. So
okay, so you have that. So they're on the same team now. So now you have that incredibly powerful force in Taiga, complementing. Like the low key, like invisible aspect of Kuroko.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's really good.
I dig it.
Yeah, he's extremely good with no ability. The only ability that he has is that, again, no one knows that he's there. That's pretty much his ability, and he has like pinpoint accuracy with his passing. So,
you know what? I love that. I love it when a series will just kind of like give the main character just kind of like a meh kind of ability. But, like, at the same time, it kind of seems meh, but, like, they, like, maximize that ability to its peak, and so it becomes incredibly impressive, but it's not as flashy as all of the other side characters.
Mm.
So, if anything, it kind of, like, allows a lot of the other side characters to shine.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Because they, like, in Season 2, you don't meet all of the Generation of Miracles. You don't meet all of them in Season 1. You actually, there's two of them. Yeah, there's two of them in particular that's left out and that you see in Season 2. But then there's also another group that could give the Generation of Miracles a run for their money. Something I just came across, like literally the latest episode I just came across. So like, I'm finding out who those are. It's very interesting what they're doing right now with this anime. And I definitely think if you guys like sports animes or haven't even tried a sports anime before, want to get into something, I would first recommend Haikyuu, just because I'm all the way caught up on that, and that show does not disappoint. A close second is definitely going to be Kuroko's Basketball, because I'm currently watching that. I'm not disappointed, but I don't know how it ends, so I can't like in full confidence be like, yeah, this is absolutely amazing, this is great. As of right now, it's great. As of right now, it's amazing. I definitely enjoy it, but Haikyuu is definitely...
I've heard the manga is really good.
For Kuroko's Basketball, yeah. I've heard great things about it, too.
I've heard it's really good.
It wasn't until Ohio kind of got it on the scene and went ahead and put that in my ear and was just like, okay, this is something I need to definitely check out. This is something I definitely need to check out, so... But yeah, like I said, Season 2, it launched, I think, this past Thursday It's on Netflix in dub and sub. So anyone that doesn't like to read, you don't have to. You don't have to. I do want to touch your brain on Jujutsu Kaisen. Because, holy crap, man. first and foremost, that girl, like, what? I'm starting to... I still remember her name off the top of my head. Yeah, exactly. You know what?
I remembered her name. I remembered her name, and then I forgot it again.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I remembered her name, too, and I forgot it. But, dude, did she show up. Like, she showed up, my dude.
Yeah, she doesn't goof around. Like, she's like, you want to go? Like, let's go. Mm. Like, you want to poison me? I'll stab myself in the arm.
Dude.
You feel that pain right back. What I will say, the one thing that I absolutely loved about this episode was, like one thing that I, like, just absolutely stood out to me was how crisp the animation was.
Yep.
That animation, that fight scene was so intense. It was so fast-paced, and it was butter. That fight scene was absolute butter.
Mm-hmm. In the microwave.
It was so good. Yeah, it was melted butter in the microwave. It was so smooth. Mm. Like this, you saw everything. It was absolutely gorgeous. And oh my gosh. And the funny thing is that, like, after this episode ended, I was like, oh shoot, that's where I left off in the manga. So I have no idea what happens after this.
Oh, that's kind of exciting. I think there's another episode. I think there's one more episode left of what's out.
There's episode, the last episode that just aired was episode 24. Which I think is actually the season finale. Because at the very end of this episode, you get to see that they're actually going through the process of promoting some new Jujutsu sorcerers to grade one.
Oh yeah, grade one. Yeah. Because I saw Toto up there. And so I saw that one girl. Yep.
Yeah, and if you notice that one girl. She actually went to the ATM, got a little receipt printed out like from Gojo, you know, and so it was a lot of money. I think it was like ten million yen or something. It was a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
which I think is like the equivalent of like $10,000 or something. But still, that's a lot of money.
Let me ask you this then, because we're at a point where I'm excited to get your prediction, and I kind of want to lock these in. Who do you think the traitor is?
This whole time, I thought the traitor the whole time was like the guy with like the mark across his forehead, because they haven't really like they've shown him like a couple times, but like they've shown that he is a human, he can talk to the curses, and so I was under the impression that he may have been a sorcerer. That worked with them, because like at the same time, like he was actually somebody who was partnering with the curses, being like, "All right, yeah."
Talking about the guy with the dark hair. This...
Yeah, he has like dark hair, like, and he has like this little, like this line with like X's like on it.
Yeah.
Like because he was telling the curses, like, yeah, like these are the items that you want. This is where you can find them. This is how you get them. And it seems like he's kind of like planning and strategizing, mm-hmm. but then they also had like this other person, like this other shaman kind of person that they kind of hinted at. But I mean, now that you mention it, like honestly, like this entire time I was like, oh yeah, like they're the traitor, like, you know, like they're just not mentioning it. But now that you kind of mention it, I'm like, oh shoot, is there another traitor that I'm not thinking of?
Because yeah, I was about to say, that's my thought. Go ahead.
Part of me thinks it's the old guy with the guitar. But part of me is thinking it's him.
I have a feeling of course, this is obviously your opinion and everything like that, your prediction. I was thinking that as well until the events unfolded that had the barrier that kept Gojo out. I think now at this point it would be a little too obvious to show that he was the traitor. And it didn't even seem like he was even on board with Like, he wasn't even fully aware of what was going on inside that domain. So, I don't think it's him. I have a feeling. I don't think it's Maki. I don't think it's Maki's sister. For a minute there, I thought it was Maki, the way that they were talking. And I was like, please don't let it be Maki. But I don't think it's Maki. I don't think it's the sister. I don't think it's Panda. I don't think it's the guy that speaks as his ability. But something tells me it's one of the others. Like, maybe the guy that is in bandages that can't leave his area. Maybe it's him. I don't think it's the girl with the blue hair.
Mechamaru?
Yeah. I think it might be him. I don't think it's the girl with the blue hair with the katana, because I think she's way too oblivious. Plus, she's like that girl next door, that way they designed her. She's beautiful, sweet, and everything like that. Doesn't want to hurt anybody. Wants everyone to get along.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's her. And I don't think it's a girl that always wants to be pretty sitting on a broom. And it's definitely not Toto. Obviously, it's not Toto. But I think that might be the guy that has the bandages on. Because there's something about this that the cursors are getting their information somehow. And I think it's someone that still is painted to us as a comrade versus a villain.
Now, other guess as to who it could be is actually the person that Gojo bribed.
The woman
with, like,
yeah,
the silver hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you think about, like, the Goodwill event, like, all the teachers, like, went out there to go assist, but they're like, hey, you stay back there and just monitor the situation. She was just like, okay, sure, I'll just sit back here. And so, and she seems a little shady.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a keen observation.
And the thing is that she's definitely shady. And I don't know if she's shady in the sense that she's working with the curses, or if she's shady because she's working with Gojo.
That could be.
Like,
do you think it's at all the driver?
If she's working for both?
That's what I was about to say.
What if she's working for both?
I was kind of thinking that.
Double, triple agents.
I was kind of thinking that because there's a scene that happens in the latest episode that made me think that might be her. But then she got really quirky, and I was like, okay, usually they don't do this type of quirkiness for a character that they're going to have as a double agent. So I don't think it's her, but there's still a small lingering portion. I'm like, it might be her. But I think that it's either the guy with the bandages, but you also bring up a good point as far as that instructor that has the white hair that Gojo was bribing. I think it also could be her.
I will say, this series absolutely has me so excited. This series has me so freaking excited. Shows like this do not come around very often.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shows like this are something that you see, like, every so often. And, I put it up there, like, with a Bleach, with a Naruto, with a One Piece, with My Hero Academia is another one that's, like, up there. Like, we don't see these types of shows very often, but when we get them, they're just such a treat. And it's just, like, oh, like, this is so good. It's such a good freaking show. And on top of that, like I said before, the animation for it, oh my god, just, like, compliments to MAPPA. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's so good to watch. The voice acting, both in Japanese and the English, both very great performances.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, some of the English voice actors, whenever they say Itadori, Itadori, I'm like, oh, come on. Don't be like that. Like, it's, I'm just like, ugh. But anyway, that's like a nitpick.
Mm.
Like, because, like, overall, like, it's really good. The story is really good. Sukuna's finger. What did you think of that scene?
Oh, dude, that was crazy. I was not expecting that at all.
It was so short. It was such a short scene, but we had, like, Megumi at the end of the previous episode before that, where we got to see him go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he released his domain. We got to see, like, a side of him that we do not get, we haven't seen yet. And he was able to take out that special grade, and he was like, okay, I'm going to hold on to this finger with my life. I'm just going to pass out with it. It's just going to be, this is the finger, like, I'm just going to pass out with it. I'm just going to go sleepy by with it. And and they're just like, all right, fine, like, Itadori, like, here you go, like, hold on to it. And then Sukuna, like, as he's going for it, like, Sukuna's just like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, he just eats it. And at this point, like, because, like, they brought up this question several times, like, how many fingers can he consume before, but, like, he completely loses control?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems like the last couple fingers he's eaten, like, it, like, he seems totally fine. Like, it almost seems like Sukuna's like he could take it, he could take over. He's just like, nah, I'm not gonna, like, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna do it just yet.
Yeah, he's waiting for,
like, he's like, I'm gonna bide my time. And the other thing that that Megumi kind of mentioned was that a lot of this increased curse activity is kind of all being attributed to Sukuna's return. Mm-hmm. When Itadori kind of like ate the first finger, and you see him kind of like having that conversation with, again, I can't remember her name. I swear, one of these days I'm gonna get her name.
Let's take a look at it real fast. I'm gonna pull it up.
And as soon as you say it, like, I'm gonna get it. What was her name? I think it started with an H. Maybe.
Alright, so Panda, Toga, Maki, Nobora, Megumi, Yuji. Let's see. Let's just go here. Alright, so Nobunaga, Kugasaki.
Kugasaki,
yep.
That's it. I'm gonna forget again.
Yeah, I probably will too. But Kugasaki.
Yeah,
Kugasaki.
Yeah, because we see Megumi talking to Kugasaki, and he's just like, yeah, like Sukuna's return is kind of like triggering all of these extra like special grades to come out. Like, we're seeing a lot more curse activity, like, ever since, like, he kind of ate that first finger, and Sukuna kind of, like, returned in a vessel. He's like, now don't tell. He's like, don't tell Itadori. She's like, all right, I won't tell Itadori. And then we see Itadori walking down a hall, Sukuna kind of talking smack a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Sukuna's, like, we're like, I'm sorry, like, what would you do if you just had a talking face face?
I'd freak out.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. You'd just be like, this is, and it just pops up on the other side, just, rah, 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 rah. Like, it's, and you already, and then you see that, like, Itadori actually knows. So now there's gonna be this, like, this kind of, like, the secret but not secret? This kind of, like, thing that they both know, they all know, but, like, they're just not talking about it?
Uh-huh.
Which could cause some tension in the future, potentially?
Yeah.
Maybe it could cause some rifts, maybe it could cause some arguments.
Yeah, man, we'll have to see. I'm very excited to see what that's going to look like next week, because I think that's when the last English dub will be out, because I think right now... I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe that was the last episode. I have to take a look at my list again.
I will say, like, I think it might have been the season finale, mainly just because... I already did look this up. They already kind of said it was only 24 episodes. But at the same time, there's part of me that just didn't really feel like it was a season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of a story, like, it was really great. But, like, it just didn't feel like, you know, like, the great crescendo that it could have been.
Mm.
And I don't know if that was just because of, like, you know, maybe just, like, at that point in the story, it just didn't, like, really fit. Because I know that in the manga, it feels very linear. It's just very, like, okay, like, we're talking about this part, and then we're talking about this part, and then we're talking about this part. And so, like, it doesn't really feel like one part is, like, has, like, more importance than the other. Or at the very least, like, this part doesn't feel like it has more weight than any of the other parts. And so maybe they were just trying to add a little bit more weight to it. But they had that, they kind of, like, did have that cliffhanger. At the very end, where they have Toto and that other woman who's getting bribed by Gojo... to recommend those five people to get to grade one. And so now, at the very least, like, once they get to grade one, we're going to be seeing them take on a lot more tough opponents.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little rapid fire here because it's getting, well, it's actually past his bedtime, so I'm about to get ready to wrap this up, get him on over the bed. Seven Deadly Sins, season season four, really, but I can understand if you call it season five. That is currently out on our YouTube page. It's coming out weekly. We have a few resources from Anime Guy. The 16 and 17, I believe it were actually muted on his channel due to copyright restrictions. He didn't repost it, but I do was able to get it from another source that kept the same genre going. I'm at a point where, like, I'm very convinced that it's going to be the last season. The way that they're kind of making it out to be, and someone had spoiled something inside the comments for me as I was scrolling down, seeing what people's thoughts were.
See, that, I don't know. That's a trap.
Now, here's
don't
the thing.
Do it.
Here's the thing.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
I don't know if they're trolling or if they're being serious. But I mean, like, if they weren't, so it's not like a spoiler. Yeah, it could be. As I said, I don't know if it's anything like that, but it is something that's just like, dang, I hope this person's wrong, but I'll find out here soon. We're gonna have to kind of see how that goes, but yeah. So if you guys are looking up to that on season 4/5, it is 18 episodes in, and I don't think you guys would be disappointed. So definitely make sure you guys check it out at YouTube. Just type in ALWT Gaming, go to our playlist, check it out there. If you can't find it with ALWT Gaming, just type in At Least We Try Gaming. We have it in chronological order from episode 1 to episode 18. And then this coming Wednesday/Thursday will be episode 19, which I'm very much looking forward to. Again, 7 Deadly Sins that way. Your hidden gem of the day is one that Gravity Mark actually recommended to me, and I've had a great time with. I actually ended up watching the whole thing in one night. I think it's great, and I really
you surprised me with that one.
Yeah, dude.
Did you say you stayed up to like 4 a.m. watching this?
Four in the morning, man. It hooked me.
Well, an Eskild over here, like
literally. I'm right there with you, Eskild. You're probably asleep by now, but I'm right there with you, man. It's called Masamune Kun's Revenge. I've also seen other translations as Masamune Kun's No Revenge. So not exactly sure what that's about, but
so that's probably like the Japanese name, because like no is like the character no is like used to it gets kind of used to imply like possession.
Mm-hmm.
So with My Hero, it's like Boku no Hero, and Boku no like means my, or like I. So like by like saying like Boku no, like it means like my. Like it could be like Masamune kun no revenge.
Yeah.
So it's like it's implying that it's his revenge.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that's that. I mean, that would definitely make a lot more sense, because I saw both of them. I just went with what I knew, and it just still popped it up for us. And the plot reads like this: Masamune Makabe was a chubby boy who had a close relationship with Aki Arigaki, a beautiful, wealthy girl, until one day she cruelly rejected him and gave him the nickname Pig's Foot. Seeking revenge against his tormentor, Masamune changed his name, began dieting and working out every day to become fit and handsome, albeit vain, high school student. When he encounters Aki once again, she doesn't recognize him, and commits to seduce her into falling in love with him before he embarrassingly rejecting her to exact revenge. Masamune ends up allying with Aki's classmate and servant, Yoshino Koe, who seems to know Masamune's nickname as well. So all that's kind of like unveiled in like the first/second episode. It's definitely very interesting. It's definitely a different take. I'm very curious to see how this is gonna go, but that's your hidden gem. Like I said, I finished the whole thing. I'm really hoping, I'm thinking that there's gonna be a season 2. I honestly think that there will be, but I think it does have to boost up that fan base. So if you guys are watching this, share it.
please watch it. Like, and again, like, it is, the premise is such, like, it is the most pettiest thing that you can think of. Like, the premise of it is so petty. But it is an absolutely fun romance series. Like, where, like, all he's doing is he's just trying to get with this girl who rejects guys. The other thing is that, like, she, like, permanently, like, stamps, like, names on people. Or, like, guys will be like, oh, like, I love you so much, like, go out with me. And she's just like, nah, I'm gonna give you a dumb name, and then everyone's gonna know you by that name. Like, she'll, like, go up to the friggin' roof of the school and just drop a banner on the side of the school, like, with a dumb name. It's just like, here's your name. Like, no, I'm rejecting you. And so, like, he's trying to, like, seduce her so that way he can do the same thing to her. But it is a fun time, I will say. It sounds super petty, but it is a fun time. The events of the anime, like, take up, I think, like, about half of what the manga has. So I'm really hoping that it gets a season two, because if not, I'm going to have to buy the manga, and I'm going to have to read it, because this is definitely a series that I personally really enjoyed. So yeah.
12 episodes long on Crunchyroll, sub and dub. Yeah,
12 episodes.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think you guys would definitely enjoy it. I think you guys will if you give it a chance. It's definitely a slice of life type. But of course, there's quirky stuff that's in there. There's some stuff that's funny in there. And I've also, I came to the realization that in some of these animes, like, I don't always go for the protagonist romance. I kind of been leaning towards, like, if I see a relationship that I like more of, I'd rather that happen. Because that happened inside ReZero, to where I want the main character to be with
Rem. Oh, you read my mind. Rem was the first thing on my mind. I was about to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You took the words right out of my mouth, sir.
Yeah, like, literally, like, I want Rem to be with what's his face? I can't remember his name right now.
Subaru,
yeah. Yeah, I want Rem to be with Subaru. There was another one. There's quite a few that's out there, but there's not really a whole lot of animes that I've been noticing that I'm just like, all right, this is the love interest, this is it, and that they just mesh together. I think I'm like right there in the middle, to where, like, if I see a good relationship, I want that to happen. And that's exactly what happened in this one. I'm not going to spoil that portion for it, but there's a character that shows up, and I'm just like, main character, just be with her. Like, she obviously loves you.
Like,
just be with her.
Like, just stop your revenge. Mm-hmm. Drop it. You're going to be happier with this person. And I love those even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, sometimes, like, when you're just like, oh, it's clearly going to be, like, the main two protagonists that kind of end up together, it's like, it's kind of, like, in a sense, there's, like, that predictability about it. But when it's, like, honestly, like, when it's kind of more so, like, up in the air, like, the quintessential quintuplets, where you're, like, I don't know who it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
Like, it just adds that extra level of just, like, oh, like, it could be any of them.
Yeah.
It could be literally any of them.
Mm.
And then you get to pick your favorite, and it's just, like, you know, like, it's kind of like betting.
Yeah, it kind of is. Get the rush. So that kind of does it for us here at All Day ALWT Gaming for our All Day Anime episode 18. This Tuesday is going to be our All Things Gaming, where we're going to talk about gaming news, updates, everything. We might be talking a little bit about Mass Effect Collector's Edition, or Legendary mm-hmm. Edition, I should say. And E3 is around the corner. Summer Game Fest is around the corner, so we're going to talk about all that. Thursday is going to be Smite Night. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 10 p.m. And then next Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're right back at it like a bad habit. All Day Anime episode 19. Just a quick little kind of into the future. We are going to be on a normal schedule next week, normal schedule the week after. But then after that, we are taking that entire week off. And it's my fault because I'm actually moving. Everything's
darn you. Everything in life.
We might still go ahead and get a Smite Night in on that Thursday night, but we'll see, because again, that's the week I'm moving, so I'm just going to be kind of moving things into position and getting things situated for El Casa, Mi Casa, you know what I mean? And then, of course, after that will be two more weeks, and then we're right back into E3 and Game Fest and Sony's event and Konami and all that stuff, so... of course, once again, you guys can check us out on various different social media platforms just by tapping in ALWT Gaming. YouTube, if you can't find us with ALWT Gaming, just type in At Least We Try Gaming. Email as atleastwetry.game@gmail.com. You guys can also check out our website at www.alwtgaming.com. And lastly, but surely not leastly, if you guys like your Raise Energy drinks, you guys can actually get some 15% off if you go to Rep Sports, REPPSports.com. That's REPP as in Paul, sports.com. Mm-hmm. Type in ALWT Game at checkout, get 15% off. And that also goes for workout powders, water supplements, the whole nine. It doesn't have to be Raise Energy, but that's just one that I always say because I do like my Raise Energy pretty hefty. Yeah, and that does it. It's 11 o'clock, and I hope you guys have a great Saturday night, what's left of it. If you guys are on the East Coast, you guys got, what, another 3 hours before it's 11, so party it up. If you guys are like Denmark, or Eskild, who's in Denmark, you're probably already asleep. So hopefully,
it's tomorrow. It's Sunday.
Yeah. You guys are already ready to go. And hopefully, you guys can watch this again later on podcast services such as YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the whole nine. Until next time, everybody, control, alt,
complete.
Peace.